بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا المراشر تعالوا يسام رحمة الله عليه has brought another section here, a section called the wisdom behind a painful death. Sometimes what might happen is we see a person going through some difficulty at the time of death. He had a very painful mort. In other words, it was a long, prolonged, painful, difficult moments this person had to go through. So that thought might come to our mind that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause this person to go through that painful death? He had a long illness, sickness, it was difficult. It wasn't something that was quick where a person just went away quickly. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this? So that thought may come to the mind. So here the Mu'tamir rahmatullahi alayhi to dispel any doubt that a person might have, or to answer that thought, that ishkal, that concern that may come to anyone's mind, he brought this hadith. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المؤمن ليعمل الخطيئة فيشدد بها عليه عند الموت ليكفر بها عنه وإن الكافر ليعمل الحسنة فيسهل عليه عند الموت ليجزى بها. هذا عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, sometimes a believer commits a sin, so he suffers a painful death, so that pain may serve as an atonement for it. Sometimes a person in his young days, in his early days, or whenever, maybe later on also, he had committed some gunas. Who's free of gunas? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive that person, cleanse that person, clean him up before he leaves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that pain at the time of death, gives him that difficulty. So what will happen now? This will serve as a means to cleanse him and to cure him, purify him, before he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then sometimes the thought might come to our mind, okay, this is for a believer, what about an unbeliever? Sometimes you'll see a disbeliever person just goes away so quickly, there's no pain at the time of his death. How does it happen? Sometimes it may happen like that, but he goes away very quickly. So that answer is also given. Sometimes a disbeliever does a good deed, so he is given an easy death, so that the ease may serve as a recompense for the good. Some good deed he may have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such, it makes it easy for him to pass away, so that becomes a recompense for the good deed that he does. We learn from this that a painful death is neither an entirely bad sign, nor is a painless death an entirely good sign. The severity of death should not cause anyone to doubt the virtue of death mentioned previously. It doesn't mean that a person had a difficult death, it's a bad sign. A person went quickly, it's a good sign. Not necessarily. Sometimes it is a good sign, and sometimes it may not necessarily mean that because this person had a difficult death, it was some type of punishment. No. From here we can learn it is a means of atonement. Because Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned that she would always think it to be a bad thing that a person would go through difficulties at the time of death, until she saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced some difficulty at the time of death. Then she realized this is not a sign that a person is going through any punishment or anything like that, because even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Pak allowed him or caused him to go through some difficulty at the time of death. So this is not a yardstick or a landmark or something that we can gauge from to say that a person went through difficulty, so this is punishment. No, not punishment. From here we learn that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this to forgive a person's sins. Now we start a new chapter. Inshallah we'll do it. It's a very beautiful, very, very, very beautiful chapter. It's called Glad Tidings to the Believer. This chapter here now is actually giving a graphic description of what happens to a person at the time of death, what he experiences, what he goes through, that whole journey that he's going through. It's almost as though, like when a person is going on a long trip, and now he's given a walkthrough. This is what you're going to experience, this is the point you're going to leave, at that point of departure, what to expect, on the way what to expect, what scenes you're going to have, where you're going to go to, who you're going to meet. So all that thing before the journey, the person is told, now he's becoming enthusiastic. That's such a nice journey I'm going for, and there's so many things we're going to see, and there's so many people we're going to meet, and this is the experience we're going to have. So before the person already leaves for the journey, that excitement is growing. So this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bring about that desire to see exactly what the journey is like when a person passes away. Hazrat Al-Barra ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a believer is departing from this world and moving towards the year after, angels whose faces are glowing like the sun come down to him from the heavens. So the first thing that a person experiences is he'll see malaika coming with their faces glowing like the sun. So beautiful, so bright these malaika are coming. They bring shrouds and perfumes of paradise with them. So now this is for the mu'min, for the believer. So once they, firstly they're so beautiful in their nature. And then they're coming with shrouds from where? Shrouds from Jannat. Not ordinary shrouds. So they come with perfume and shrouds of Jannat. Can you imagine what a smell that will be? What a sight that will be? That this shrouds are actually shrouds coming from Jannat. The perfume is perfume from Jannat. They sit by him in such large numbers that they are as far as the eye can see. They come around this person in such large numbers that as far as the eye can see, he can see this malaika, beautiful malaika, coming with the shrouds and perfume. He can see that as far as the eye can see. The angel of death also comes and sits at his headside and says, O life, which was satisfied with the order of Allah Ta'ala, move towards the forgiveness and pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The soul leaves easily, similar to how water pours out from a water skin. You got a water bag, skin bag, and you pour the water out, how easily the water just flows out like that. So this person's ruh just comes out like that, like how water leaves the water skin. Although you may see it differently, outwardly it may seem to you that the soul left with much force. The force is felt by the body and not the soul. The ruh now doesn't feel any pain. So sometimes the person is looking at the person that is passing away, he may look, hey, it's a difficult sakarat, but it's not the ruh that is feeling it. That is the body, completely different. Body is completely different now, the ruh is different. The ruh is not feeling it. We sometimes look at the body, we think, hey, such a difficult, it wasn't so difficult, it was so easily his ruh had left the body. It is that the body may have seemed difficult, but the ruh came out very, very easily. The angels remove the soul, and once they remove it, they do not leave it in the hands of the angel of death for even the blink of an eye. Now they don't leave that ruh with the angel of death for even a blink of the eye. They take this ruh away. They place it in that heavenly shroud and perfume. So now the ruh is placed in the shroud, placed in that perfume. The fragrance which emanates from it is like the sharpest fragrance of musk on earth. Then they climb up with it. Now they start moving on this journey. They're taking the ruh up. And as they are going up, they're taking the soul up, this ruh up. Each time they pass a group of angels, the angels ask, who is this pure soul? They reply, he is so and so, the son of so and so. They introduce him with the best names with which he was called in this world. They continue in this way until they reach the closest heaven, that is the Sama'u Dunya. From there they continue with him through the other heavens until they reach the seventh heaven. Now this person is going right up till the seventh heaven. Imagine every heaven he's passing, the malaika asking, who is this person? And these people, those malaika that are taking him up, they're giving him the best names that his person was called by, he was known by. And as he's carrying on, he's moving and moving until he reaches the seventh heaven. Allah Ta'ala says, record his name in the Illiyin and take him back to the earth to be questioned in the grave. His soul is returned to his body in a manner most appropriate to the barzakh and does not end not as it was in this world. So now Allah Pak is taking him back, his, obviously his questioning is going to start now. So his soul is now returned. Before that, record his name in the Illiyin. When a person's name is recorded in some famous book, in some famous record, how happy he feels that he made it for that record. Ya Illiyin is that record of all the pious souls. Record this person's name in that record. Can you imagine what an achievement that is? When a person's name is recorded in some book, some Guinness book, or some book of record, or some book, historical book, where people take pride in, that is something that will come to an end. But here Allah Pak is saying, record his name in the book of in the Illiyin. Now it's such a high ranking reward the person is receiving. Imagine what a thing this is. And now he's taken back. And his soul is now put back, which is most appropriate, not the way we see the qabr small like that. Now this is a different alam, different situation that the person is going through. So his soul is returned to his body in a manner most appropriate to barzakh and is not as it was in this world. Two angels then come to him and make him sit up. Now two angels come and they make him sit up now when he's in his grave. They ask him, who is your sustainer and what is your religion? He replies, Allah Pak is my sustainer and Islam is my religion. They ask, who is this man who has Who is this man who was sent to you? He replies, he is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some rewrites it comes, or some explanations it comes, that all the veils from that person right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are removed completely, that the person can see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine Ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what excitement will be at that time now he can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. So anyway, this person replies that that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now they ask, the angels ask, how do you know this? He replies, I read the book of Allah, I believed in it, and I affirmed it. A caller on behalf of Allah Ta'ala from the heavens calls out, my servant has answered correctly. He's passed his exams. His exams was taken now, the exams of the Qabr. He has passed it. So now this angel calls out that my servant, now this person, angel is calling out on the behalf of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that my servant has answered correctly, lay open a carpet from paradise for him and make him wear from the garments of paradise. This person was buried now with that kafan. Now the special, what clothing he's given, well, not ordinary clothing of this dunya, but he's given clothing of Jannat. That make for him the garments of paradise. So this person, so first a carpet from paradise is opened up for him, and now he's given the clothing of Jannat. Open for him a door leading to paradise. The breeze and fragrance of Jannat reaches him. So the breeze and the fragrance of Jannat is now reaching this person. And his grave is expanded for him, for as far as his eye can see. A man wearing exquisite clothes and having beautiful perfume comes to him and says glad tidings to you. So now he's enjoying the breeze of Jannat. He got the scene of Jannat. He's got the clothing of Jannat. And now another man comes with exquisite clothing. And this person has a beautiful perfume, comes to him and asks him, or tells him, glad tidings to you. This is the day which you were promised. Now this person comes and tells him, glad tidings to you. This is the day that you were promised. So now this person had passed away, he asks, he says, who are you? I see only good in your face. I look at you, I only see good in your face. Who are you? This person replies that I am your good deeds. The deceased says repeatedly, O Allah, start the day of resurrection quickly. Start the day of resurrection quickly so that I may return to my family and wealth which I will receive in the year after. In other words, for my good deeds. Now the person just saw this good deeds coming in the form of a person. Beautiful, so beautiful. He gets so excited. O Allah, start the day of resurrection quickly so I can meet up with my family and my good deeds in Jannah. Such a beautiful description of what a person goes through. Now can you imagine when we see this, is this something about doom or gloom? Or we ask ourselves, is this some journey that a person should be excited about, a person should look forward about, for? So the real thing is we should prepare for that. Not that we be overconfident, but at the same time we don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah Pak has got in store for us. So we should start working towards it, making an effort towards it daily, so that the day can come and we can also enjoy this beautiful journey. As we know, today is Friday, we should try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, try and recite Surah Al-Kahf, try and be early for the Jummah Salah and take advantage of the time between before Maghrib Salah to make extra dua. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.